Welcome, Hoosier Nation, to our 21st episode of The Hoosier Sound. I am your host, Noah Freeman, and I'm here with Matthew Lukens. Our show has one main goal, to give you our perspective of IU sports from the point of view as a student or young adult. In addition, we will also give our view on hot takes from around the world of sports, like tonight, the Super Bowl. We'll be going live every Tuesday evening at 8:30 p.m., but if you miss us live, you can subscribe to various networks so you can listen on your own time. We are now on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and our live stream will be posted on our YouTube page after each recording. All you got to do is search for The Hoosier Sound wherever you listen to podcasts and just hit subscribe. It's simple, easy, and it'll mean a lot to us if you guys hit that subscribe button for us. Social media is also big for us, and we post updates for you guys in Facebook and Twitter. Make sure you give us a like and a follow, as well as subscribe on our YouTube account. All the information is in the description below. You can check out our website, thehoosiersound.com, to find out all of our information in one place. Lastly, on our website, you can be on the lookout for blogs and articles that we'll be putting up every once in a while, so make sure to follow us on Twitter so you can see when those come out. All right, Hoosier Nation, it's time for some sports talk. Since it's another Tuesday evening, Indiana had a basketball game against Ohio State, number 17 ranked Ohio State in the nation, and the Hoosiers fall 71-56. Matt, from this gloomy evening, per se.
At least we didn't get Illinois and Rutgers. Rutgers? Currently, right now, or previously, Rutgers was losing by 41 to Illinois. So,
oh my gosh!
So this game wasn't as bad as that game. So we have that on the bright side, folks.
Better beat Rutgers is all I'm saying.
Also, Devontae Green had himself a game, but I think that was more because he only played 4 minutes against Purdue. He's our only really well-rested player that played.
We can start there. Obviously, there are some indifferent opinions as to the Big Ten tournament being hosted in New York, which, folks, if you didn't know, that's why we have a lot of quick turnaround games. The Big Ten wanted to try and host the Big Ten tournament in New York City at the Garden, basically.
Because Rutgers is really going to get us that New York market.
And they wanted to, because there's a New York market somewhat there and everything. But they've already got, what is it, the Big East? That usually is it the Big East?
Yeah, it's the Big East that always has their tournament in Madison Square Garden. Yeah. They rent it out every year.
Big East was first, so we have to move our tournament a week early. So that's why you see the two Big Ten games being played earlier in the season in December, and now that they're being a little pushed back because we basically lose a week. So instead of having maybe two games that are two games within two nights, basically it's like three or four games that we have those quick turnarounds. So that's why there's a very quick turnaround. It's happened a couple times already, maybe two nights in between, but still that's the quick turnaround. So starting there, I think from the very beginning, there was a very good chance of a letdown just because first, Purdue number three ranked Purdue comes in, not just number three ranked, but also our rival Purdue comes into Assembly Hall. Obviously, everyone's going to get up for that game. The crowd's going to get up for that game. The team played a little over their heads, I think, as a good thing and almost coming away with the win. And 2 days later, after all of the starters had to play incredible minutes and everything, I think it just a bunch of wear and tear on them. Even Juwan at some points looked a little rusty, and he's the guy that's been 100% consistent all the time. This is actually in his past three games until tonight, he had scored at least 24 points. He had 25, then 29, and 24. And one of those games was even against Michigan State. But then tonight he goes 6 or 11, 15 points, 6 rebounds, which isn't too bad. But no, not his normal stat. Is what I was getting at. It's not his recent stat. So it's just showing. And he had 4 turnovers. So it's just showing that.
But at one point in the first half, we had 23 points. He had 11 of the 23. So it's not his fault. We got off to the slowest offensive start I've ever seen.
He assisted to more. I think it was something like 17 or 18 of those 23 that he scored or assisted on.
Yeah. And McRoberts came out firing, and I thought, oh, wow, maybe you can put in a performance. McRoberts is shooting, and then I don't think he shot it. Maybe he shot one more three attempt the rest of the game, and I was like,
He went out with that 5-0 run at the very beginning of the game, and then he missed two threes from then on, and then another two shots. So he was 2 for 5 in total, 1 for 3 in total for the game, which isn't bad for him. He doesn't get a lot of points. That's not great, but you would have thought maybe after those first two great shots that he would have kept going. And honestly, his stat line still obviously doesn't say the whole story. 2 rebounds, 2 assists, but he did get 3 steals. But yeah, and he didn't play as much as I thought he would, because he's honestly Dan Dockich was talking about it, and as much as we'll say indifferent opinions about Dan Dockich, but he does have sometimes a lot of good analysis, and I think sometimes he is right that Zach is actually our second best player on the team a lot of times, next to kind of Robert, depending on what game he has, which tonight I think Zach was our second best player on average, if you take out Devontae, obviously. Yeah,
definitely. Devontae had a game.
Back to your point.
Yeah.
Everyone had played a lot of minutes, even Freddie, basically, at the Purdue game, because he was getting some minutes trying to help spot Juwan and get Haas. Right. So then literally the only person that didn't play a lot was Devontae. Even Al Durham played a little, but not a lot, but he didn't play a lot tonight because he wasn't doing well, because he hasn't been doing well. So Devontae was finally able to show that stuff that we saw, in the preseason?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw in the preseason, we're like, wow, he could be our third guard on the floor. Little did we know he was going to be playing 4 minutes against Purdue.
Yeah. Anyway, I hope that was Dan Dockich made a comment. It's like, why doesn't he get more playing time? But I'm like, well, Dan, you have not seen very many IU games. If yes, Devontae's having a great game, but there are very much good and bad Devontae's. Even tonight, he was doing so well, and there was just one shot that he just.
Oh yeah, no, it was right after Dan Dockich said. It was right after Dan Dockich said, wow, why doesn't Devontae Green play more?
And then he tries
to take a Steph Curry, James Harden, like pretend he got contact three and try to get 3 free throws out of it. And just, it was the ugliest shot I've seen.
That and the one that he had that weird step back where he didn't even need to step back because the defender was 2 feet in front of him, and he somehow stepped back and he still those two things. It's very much good Devontae, bad Devontae. He's kind of taken that torch with good Troy, bad Troy, basically.
Yes. Even though good Troy, bad Troy ended up in the NBA in good Devontae, bad Devontae.
He's got 2 years. He's got two years. We'll wait till next year to see. I mean, because you never know. Maybe he could be Juwan Morgan in between this year, next year, which that would be incredible. But yeah, I mean, 4 for 5 from three. Why weren't we, which we actually were, and he wasn't, towards the end of the game, I was noticing he wasn't we were giving him screens, and they were screens so he could shoot. Like Freddie would come up and give him a screen, and they wouldn't rotate quick enough, and he just kind of stopped. And then obviously he looked for the cutback, but dude, if you're 4 for 5 from three and the rest of the team has made 2 threes in total, one of them was the second play of the game. And then Al Durham at the very end, we probably went through 20, 25 minutes of a stretch without a three, kind of like the Purdue game where we didn't score a three the entire second half. And we are literally in the bottom 20 of 3-point shooting teams. If you're 4 for 5, our best stat line, probably out of tonight games, you need to even shoot more. I don't care. Like, that's, yes, Devontae takes really bad 3-point shots, and that one shot was actually that one miss. But still, if you're 4 for 5, you need to start shooting more, especially if we're down 15 points and we need some buckets to try and come back. Because really, the Hoosiers could have came back if they started playing like that 20 minutes earlier.
How do we go from being one of the better 3-point shooting teams in the past, 5 years? to literally being in the last 20 in 3-point shooting. It blows my mind. I don't understand it. We need a shot doctor, a voodoo doctor.
I think it's a lot of focus and practice. I think Tom Crean probably liked to focus on shooting in practice.
Oh, of course. Whereas, yeah, but still.
I think that's – and then Archie's had to take time trying to implement his system, which will just flow more naturally, obviously, in later years. And he's trying to work on a lot with defense, which for the most part, honestly, IU's defense is really good. Like even when they're on their bad days, their defense is still pretty good. Because like Ohio State wouldn't have scored 71 points if they didn't have a lot of really good shots. To their defense, they were making really hard shots, even with hands in their faces from IU and whatnot. I was at the beginning of the game, I actually looked at it, and if you took away all of because when you look at field goal percentage, they also add in 3-point percentage to both of that, so it's both in there. If you took away the 3-point and you just did twos for that percentage, they were shooting 83% from inside the arc, basically, without taking, if you took away the 3-point shot. And I'm like, oh my goodness, when IU was shooting 30%. So like, to their defense, they were making a lot of points, a lot of good shots. But yeah, IU's defense is much improved. But yeah, which is kind of like a guy, sometimes maybe that's kind of a good thing. Maybe Romeo is just sitting at home being like, man, IU's got a lot of really good stuff, but right now they need a shooter. Who's that one guy coming in?
Yes, who? Romeo. Who would that be? Oh, Romeo.
Who would be the guy to score 20 points a game? Which we need that kind of person. We thought Rob would be that person this year, and honestly, I wouldn't care. Let's give the ball to Romeo, even as a freshman. Let's have him score 20 points and just have the offense flow around him, which is what Archie would honestly want to do if he ended up coming here. So.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe that'll be a good thing.
And get a nice 10 from Rob Finnessy too, while we're at it.
Exactly. Which, dang, Rob Finnessy coming to all these games. Good for him. I feel he's scouting. He's
part
got
of the
a
team.
Exactly. He's trying to scout and become so he can just come off on the right foot. And he wants to start right away. And kudos to him. He really wants, like, just coming to all these games and stuff. I really love his attitude getting into the season.
I feel like all these new recruits, Jake, Demezi, Jerome, who was at the game tonight, I feel like all of them are super, super into the whole IU thing. And I already love it. I love it so much. So hopefully we can get that one last person from New Albany to sign up, and then we'll have like a top 10 recruiting class for next year.
Oh yeah. And if that happened, we'd have to have literally a couple episodes on starting rosters, because that's going to be a lot of fun. Actually,
we could probably talk every week for 10 minutes about what the starting roster would be for next year, and we still wouldn't figure it out by the time season came around next year. So
that would be so. But anyway, people got to score. Basic thing. Even I'm surprised, actually. I'm looking at the box score. Freddie got up to 9 points.
Yeah, but how many open layups did he miss?
Oh my gosh, both of us were tweeting out that stat that he probably would have actually almost been probably close to the leading scorer on the team if he was making those open layups. But honestly, even if those three are the only people scoring, you got 2 points from Justin. You got 5 points from Zach, who was great to start out, but then disappeared scoring wise. Rob, who made one basket, our senior guard, who's supposed to be averaging 24 points a game.
One, what about our other senior guard?
Basket. And then our other senior guard, who got what? 0-4, 0-3, 0-4 field goals, 0-3 from the three, which means he only shot 1-2, which, man, if you're going 0-3 from the 3-point range and you only shot 1-2, you're doing something wrong too. You gotta, if you're not hitting it from outside the arc, go in. You're called boost for a reason. Drive into the lane. And then, which he didn't start in the second half, and I don't think he played much of the second half anyway. So, and then you got Al Durham, who, he's been on up and down. He's just being a freshman. Can't really take too much against him. But other than that, like, there's no scoring.
Look at Justin Smith, right? I think the first three of the game that he took was like a mile short. Like, it was
it was open too.
You could tell he was a freshman on the road at Ohio State on 2 days rest. You could absolutely tell.
On a guy that played a lot, actually, and played well during Purdue.
Played a lot. And, yeah, again, to your point, very well against Purdue. So I'm not gonna take this performance and against anything against him because he's been playing well all season. That's just,
oh yeah,
you could see it. His legs were just tired.
See, I don't take too much from the freshmen. Besides, it's just a learning curve for them. Seniors, very very disappointed in the seniors.
I told you
at one point they were
awful. All four of our seniors. What have they contributed?
Let's see. Tonight was, 2 points? Oh, no, if you take Freddie, actually. Freddie got on. Yeah, so you add 11 points.
You get 11 points from our seniors on a road in a road game.
Yep. Scoring 56 total points. Yeah.
Yep.
But as frustrating as it is this year, and Indiana now is it kind of went out of the bag when they lost to Illinois. They're not making the tournament. They're, I think, the only shot, and there's obviously always some sort of shot, but I think they'd have to go undefeated, and I think they'd have to get to the Big Ten championship to even have a chance. But I don't think they're going to go to the tournament, so I think we got to keep looking forward as a good thing. And there are a lot of good things to take away from this season, as rough as it is. I think we're going to do very well moving forward. I think Archie has a plan for this team. This season's a little different. He doesn't have any of his own guys because even the one guy he got, Race Thompson, is sitting on the bench as he needs to as a redshirt. But zero guys are playing on the court right now. So we can talk in future podcasts, obviously, about moving forward because it's still exciting. Obviously, these losses now are going to be frustrating as we've only won we've lost 5 of the last 6 games or something like that. It's
Same time, we've played Michigan State, Ohio State, Purdue.
Exactly.
Lost at Illinois, which we should have won. But look what they're doing to Rutgers right now. And
And then we got Michigan State, who will play against this Saturday at number 5. And who knows, maybe third time's the charm for top 5 opponents coming into Assembly Hall. But I don't know how much more gusto Assembly Hall is going to try and have for this team. But who knows? Maybe Michigan State will catch them on a bad game. I don't know. Either way, show up. It'll be an 8:15 game on Saturday. Show up. But, I mean, after that, we still got a very cushy until we play Ohio State. We still got Rutgers, Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa, and Nebraska is not as cushy anymore. But, I mean, who knows? We could rack off 5 straight wins. Maybe we could senior night Ohio State, and we can go into the Big Ten tournament with a 6-game winning streak. Maybe win a couple games in the Big Ten tournament. Maybe not win the whole thing. Win a couple games, get in the NIT. Not throw away our home field, our home court advantage. Not do what we did last year, which is not on Tom Crean, by the way. That's not on Tom Crean for all of that debacle, but we don't have to get back into that.
Yeah.
But I think there are still good times, as hard as this podcast is. I know it's going to be hard for people to even try and listen to this podcast after Indiana put up those numbers, basically. But aside from that, we can talk about some other things, like our good, bad, and ugly segment.
Yay!
Look at that segue. Okay. Good. Now that I think about it, it's kind of also a bad thing, but that football is almost over. My good was basically that the Super Bowl is finally here. Like, we finally came around 365 days that the Super Bowl is finally here, and we get to see the two teams clash basically in the Super Bowl. But I guess it was more of a bad thing because football's over until August again. But we'll get into that in a second. The bad, it's kind of a good, but also a bad, just because the outcome, the Purdue game I had, just because they played so well. So that's not an ugly thing whatsoever. Honestly, that was almost going to be my good, but just the outcome, sadly, just the last 4 minutes, kind of like the Duke game, last 4 minutes, almost couldn't pull it out. And then ugly, I think it's pretty obvious what the ugly is going to be is tonight, because Indiana they still played. Like, if you take out the first half, they tied Ohio State. They both went 33 for 33. It was that first half that they scored 23 points in total. That's it. So tonight is my ugly from losing to Ohio State. Obviously a good team, but still losing. Another large loss, I guess, is how you'll put it. And I guess I'll give it to you right after Illinois ended up beating Rutgers 91-60.
Yikes.
So pretty bad.
Ouch.
Pretty bad.
But anyway, my good this week is Greg Doyle wrote a beautiful article in the Indy Star, not only about Rob Johnson, but also about Romeo and talking about when he's going to commit and who he's going to commit to. I really highly recommend going and looking at that piece in the Indy Star.
When did he say he was going to commit?
They said he's probably going to wait until either the McDonald's All-American game or April. So,
because I say
March, April.
He was still saying spring, so I was glad he didn't change that. Because he was still thinking spring, and after all the games were over. Which, by the way, the very last game Romeo is playing Bloomington North on February 23rd. So
I will be
go.
There.
So don't chant his name or go over to him, but wear IU and chant.
You can IU. Chant IU. Yes.
You can chant IU, but you don't
chant Romeo.
Don't associate him with IU. He will know what that means, but don't associate him with Indiana.
Yes, otherwise you can get kicked out of the gym. But anyways, he was talking about Romeo. Romeo will not be visiting Kansas for a game. He's come and visited us for a game. He's not going to Vanderbilt for a game. So that's good.
Take what you will. Obviously, he's right here. So take what you will. But obviously, that's more of a positive than it is a negative.
Right, exactly. And he was very complimentary about Archie Miller and Archie Miller's coaching. So go check out that article. That's good news for us. Anyway, moving on to my bad. Bad is obvious. Bad is all the IU losses this past week and how the team's been playing. And that produced
our last show was about, what was that? That would have been about Maryland. Yeah, which we were feeling good after Maryland. I even wrote an article.
I was feeling great about Maryland. I was like, wow, we could give Purdue a game.
I knew we would give Purdue a game, and I knew we'd still probably lose to both Purdue and Ohio State, but man, that Illinois loss just completely tore things apart. And we'd honestly still be probably not good, but we'd still be in the running for the NCAA tournament if it wasn't for that Illinois loss.
Yeah, definitely. And then my ugly, ugly is, my ugly is, Elon Musk is selling flamethrowers. So if you want a flamethrower, you can go buy one for $500 off the Boring Company website. So that's my ugly for the week. It has nothing to do with sports, but
I mean, you could have, tonight was also pretty ugly for
of
that.
Course,
that was pretty,
but at the same time, I think recreational weapons also count as sports. So flamethrowers, guys, go buy your flamethrowers.
I thought I saw somewhere that some team was trying to use flamethrowers to melt all the ice off a runway to get somewhere or something like that, which
seriously?
That's pretty funny.
That's pretty
That's pretty awesome, yeah.
That is the most awesome way you could possibly get snow out of your way. It's just walking with a flamethrower.
Exactly.
Light the ground on fire. All right, moving on.
On to this Sunday, February 4th at 6:30. There's some kind of game going on this Sunday at 6:30. I mean, it's not, I don't think it's the biggest game or anything of the entire year, like biggest single game of the entire year in sports ever.
Oh, yes. Oh, the Super Bowl is this Sunday.
Man, it took you way too long to get that.
No, I had to keep the suspense going.
Uh-huh, no. That's what it was.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I am so excited for this Sunday, but I'm also terrified. I just want the game to be over with. I don't even care about the commercials this year. I don't care about who I'm watching it with. I just want to watch the game alone by myself in a lonely, dark room and no one would talk to me. Okay.
Honestly, the commercials though have been so bad recently. I used to look forward to them, and now they're just
the Doritos commercials used to be the best.
Oh gosh, every single commercial, like, it's just been terrible. You look forward to, even the Doritos used to be the only ones doing well, and oh man, we'll actually have to have a some sort of, at some point, we'll see if we can go back and look at all the commercials, and we'll have to have some sort of special segment, because I forgot to mention this at the beginning. Next week, if you're listening at this point in the podcast, next week, next Wednesday, we are postponing our Tuesday show to Wednesday, because finally, I did not forget. I was still working with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We are now going live with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call to talk some IU hoops on Wednesday at 9 o'clock Eastern time. So be on the lookout for that. You don't want to miss that. Seriously, guys, they've got a huge fan base with their Assembly Call podcast. He also does Podcast on the Brink. This is a huge thing for us. We're going to get to talk to him. If you have any other questions, send them in, talk to us. But we're going to get some really great insight, get some just a very good conversation with him, and it's going to be really good to get some IU hoops. We're going to go through each player on the team and basically talk about how they've done, what they need to go forward to move forward, and how they're basically gonna have to help the team for IU to keep having some success. But yeah, check out next week. Don't miss it as a serious thing. That's the one podcast this entire year you're probably not going to want to miss.
Don't miss it, guys.
Exactly. Just like you're not going to want to miss the Super Bowl. Another good segue. Woo.
Yes.
But yeah, I thought it was interesting. And I'm not sure exactly why the line has moved so much, but right at the Eagles won, which you would have thought maybe it'd be a little lower, right after they demolished the Vikings, but it was a 5.5 line, which was the largest, Super Bowl line since 2009, where New England had it at 5.5, and now it's dropped all the way to 4, which I thought was interesting. So I'm wondering why. I don't know. I don't think Gronk would have made that much of a difference.
No.
So
it's,
yeah,
it's there was a bunch of multi-million dollar bets on the Eagles because the line was so high
by one particular person, mostly.
Yes. I honestly think they moved the line down just so that they don't lose so much money in case the Eagles win.
That same guy actually lost Vegas $13 million off of the World Series. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Lost the, because he was betting so, like, he was betting so well that he lost Vegas $13 million. Wow. And that same guy's betting on the Eagles. So
I know.
Let's hope his outcome is the same as November.
Oh, please.
Yeah, we'll see, though. Maybe next week Matt will get on Tuesday night and talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. If it's a win, I feel like he might not want to be up for going if it's a loss, because we still want to have the Assembly Call. We want to make that our main show, but obviously the Super Bowl is going to happen, and we don't want to wait over a week before talking about it. But
yeah,
we'll see. I think the Eagles, main point for them to basically come out, they've got to come out hot. They've got to follow Jacksonville, just like that. They got to do what they did against the Vikings. Maybe not that very first drive, but they just got to come out hot, and they got to come out ready to play literally from opening kickoff, like, as special teams. The special teams can't even
they're going to be ready.
Get lax and physical. Like, they got to come out hot right from the very beginning, because obviously, even last year against Jacksonville, that New England, the game is not over until literally the clock hits triple zeros. So you got to come out hot. You got to keep scoring. If you keep scoring, and even if you get a 14-21 point lead, obviously, that's not enough. You got to keep putting your foot on the gas, just like they did against the Vikings. Hopefully that was a practice run.
Yeah, basically. It was exactly a practice run. That's exactly
practice
what
run. Yeah. Cause Tom Brady.
Yeah, this time it's Tom Brady, in that case Keenum. So,
and Bill Belichick, who is very good. As much as we can get past the cheat-riots, basically. Yeah. Bill Belichick is very, very, very good at adapting during the game.
Definitely.
And adapting with Tom Brady, and Tom Brady adapting with Bill Belichick, and Sorry, I got to keep throwing out all those nods in there. Sorry to any Patriots fans, but sorry, not sorry. Anyway, yeah, because you just got to keep scoring. You got to limit Tom Brady. You got to get pressure on him, because you've seen once you've gotten pressure, any successful team against the Patriots this season has gotten pressure on him.
And we're going to do that. We can do that. We got to rush four. You can't blitz. If you blitz, you're out of luck. So
exactly. Because it was kind of like not the same two teams, but even when the Steelers were playing the Jaguars, they were trying to stop like Bortles from running, but you still got to get pressure on the quarterback, because if you rush three and it's just not getting there, it's not going to do anything. Because you go back to the Dolphins game with the Patriots, the Dolphins were able to win because they knocked him down 6, 7, 8 times. Even if it's not a sack, just hit him.
Right. You got to get it right there. Brady.
Because he does terribly, well, not terribly, but relatively terribly when you just get hits on him. So get hits on him, stop the run, because if all he can do is pass, obviously he's very deadly with that, but he's got no options, and you can focus on passing and then just getting to the quarterback and then just keep scoring. Nick Foles, man, as much as you probably don't want to hear it, this game is on you.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be like you were against the Vikings and not – like a couple other games. Just hope as one of my fellow podcasters on another podcast I do, basically, as he says, don't turn into a pumpkin. Cinderella type of thing. Yeah, don't turn into the pumpkin. Do it on Monday right after the Super Bowl so you can keep going well.
Yeah, oh my goodness. It's all on Nick Foles, because you know the Patriots are going to take away the run game, because that is our – but our offense is built around, so it's going to be, is Nick Foles going to be able to get our receivers the ball in one-on-one matchups on the outside? That's going to be it. It's all going to come down to that, because otherwise, if he doesn't, I mean, they might as well put the line on 40, and you're still not going to get the under, right? The Patriots is going to blow us out.
For real, though. So, like, actually, yeah, because if the Eagles also – if the Eagles can't score, they're not going to win. So as good as their defense can and probably, like, will be, it's still just minimizing the Patriots. They're going to score. It's just a matter of when. So you just got to keep up and stay ahead, basically.
You got to get pressure on Brady while rushing four, and you got to get two miraculous catches. You just got to take the Giants blueprint and, you know, redo it about, you know, 5 years later.
So. And also keep history. The Patriots, this is if you haven't heard this fact, this is mind blowing. The Patriots have never scored in the first quarter in a Super Bowl, in their Super Bowl victories. They have never scored in the first quarter. That's just mind blowing, honestly. Scored a touchdown. They've never scored in the first quarter. So, like, talk about coming out hot, and obviously keep that history going. Which is also, this is another very interesting thing. If you want to make bets, this is actually just a miscellaneous bet that's starting to be made. In 2014, last Olympics, Winter Olympics, the first quarter total points scored was the same amount that the U.S. won gold medals for the Winter Olympics that season. So you should start betting like over and unders for if they're going to get that or tie it or something like that, which was 9, by the way. There were 9 total points scored in the first quarter of the Super Bowl in 2014, and then 9 total gold medals that the U.S. Olympics won. So fun fact for all of you right there. But
I absolutely love the miscellaneous bets. They're my favorite thing in the world.
They are. They really are. Even though it has nothing to do with stuff like that, honestly, but people are starting to bet on those and they're betting big money, but hopefully that first quarter thing can stay true. And then the Eagles just don't do what everyone has not learned, that you cannot give Tom Brady time.
Yeah, you just have to run the ball every single possession for the rest of the, if we have like a 14 point lead in the fourth quarter and we throw the ball, I'm going to march down, or I guess up, to Minnesota and smack Doug Peterson around, I swear.
Just look at the Jaguars. The Jaguars won the game.
They completely got, like, went away from running the ball. Even though they weren't doing very well with Leonard Fournette, they could have done some design plays where all the wide receivers went down the field and you got Blake Bortles.
No, it was because they weren't running the ball. It's because they were doing that in the first quarter. It was working. and then they were trying to go conservative so they could run out the clock.
Right. But, yeah. I mean,
so then the Patriots knew that it was a run literally almost every play. So they stopped Fournette because it was so easy when you have eight people against one guy. It's pretty easy when you know that it's going to be a run every time. And they stopped doing the little short passes that Blake Bortles was actually being like very good at.
Oh, they're not going to be able to do that against the Eagles. Nick Foles is a check down god. So.
Yeah. That's right. So like, because they just went away from it. Just stay your course. I know you got to change with Bill Belichick, but like it was working and it was going to keep working at least long enough for the Patriots not to score before time went out. So yeah, if the Eagles can come out hot, Nick Foles, especially Nick Foles, honestly, Nick Foles needs
it's
to come out.
It's all on Nick Foles. It's on Nick Foles and the offensive line. If the offensive line can block and get holds for Jay and LeGarrette Blount, we're looking at a Lombardi Trophy in Philly. If they don't do that, we're looking at a repeat of 2005.
So yeah, come out hot. Don't keep your foot off the gas. Keep going. Don't change what's working. But also, if it's not working, change with what Bill Belichick is doing. Get pressure on Brady. And that will be, I mean, honestly, it's pretty easy to like pick out the things to beat the Patriots. Like, it's not a secret. Like how you can beat them, it's just actually doing it.
Yeah, which is so hard.
The really hard part.
Definitely.
Yeah, we'll see if we can check back in. I assume most of our podcast listeners, and I mean most, not everyone, are probably rooting for the Eagles this year, no matter what, because honestly, even if you're like a Redskins and you're a Cowboys and you're a Giants fan, you're still probably rooting for the Eagles because of the other team.
We're the only team in the division that hasn't won one, damn it.
Exactly. I mentioned last week it was like three from the Cowboys, like two from the Redskins, two from the Giants in like the past 30, 40 years or something like that, and zero from the Eagles. But that about wraps it up for our 21st show of the Hoosier Sound. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and please feel free to add suggestions in the comment section or contact us through our website. Reminder, next week, assembly call, Wednesday, 9 o'clock. Don't miss it. But also a reminder to follow us on Twitter at The Hoosier Sound, like our Facebook page, as well as subscribe to us on YouTube. If you enjoy the show, these are vital for receiving updates about the show. But also, you can subscribe on either Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher, and leave us a review if you miss the show live. And all of the links are in the description below. Visit us at our website at thehoosiersound.com to find all of our information regarding our podcasts in one place, and stay tuned for updates through social media. As always, send us your questions as the audience, especially if you want to hear some just life questions to Jared, basically, for next week. Just send them in. Contact us. Email us at contact@thehoosiersound.com on what questions you have, and we'll definitely get them out for them, because we really are giving him those questions and he's happy to talk with us about those. But lastly, if you enjoy our show, leave us a review. Tell a friend, because it really grows with word of mouth. Share our links, and it really helps us out so we can grow this podcast. But thank you for listening, Hoosier Nation, and we'll see you next time.